Hi, everybody. Welcome to What's Good Miami. Today, we're going to be launching our Creative Conversation interview series, where every other week we will be interviewing some creative luminary in Miami. And today we have Josh Wagner, who is a man about town, someone I've known for probably 20 years or more.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of someone better to kick off this series and to talk about Miami with. I don't know if there's someone who knows more about Miami and at the same time is more interesting of a human being than you. For me, I've always thought of you as almost like the Anthony Bourdain of Miami. Years ago, you had your own TV show on the Plum Network.
Yeah.
You just have a unique career and a unique perspective. So thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thanks for having me, man.
And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Absolutely.
What is your name and what do you do?
My name is Josh Wagner, and I'm a hospitality specialist. I think that's the easiest way to describe it.
You've been at, you know, Morgan's Hotel Group. You are a bar, lounge, restaurant owner. Mm-hmm. You are a consultant mm-hmm. for cocktail companies. And so there's a lot to cover here, but maybe you could give us a little bit of, like, your Miami journey, because you're not a born and raised Miami person, but your blood runs very thick into the world of
after
Miami.
Time, yes, it grows on you.
So what's, like, what does it mean to be a hospitality specialist, and how the hell did you end up here?
I mean, you and I first knew each other when we were in college, when we were promoting parties.
Yeah.
So that goes way, way back.
Can't escape that.
I know. You know what? But it was a foundation and a building block, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, very much in hospitality, horizontal leads to vertical, right? And that was that was instrumental for us to, you know, be a part
changed
of.
Changed my life.
Changed a lot of things.
So you were at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I grew up in New York City. I grew up in the Bronx in Riverdale, and I went to University of Wisconsin. And then when I graduated from Wisconsin, I came down to Miami and I got my master's degree in hotel hospitality management. Simultaneously, I, you know, because of our promoting days, was connected with venues that were at that time popping in the early 2000s, late 90s, places like the Shore Club and the Delano. And I was smitten by the gentleman who was running the Shore Club at the day, and his name was Ben Pundle. I remember through parties and stuff, I met him, and in my brain, I was like, I'm gonna work for this guy, because I too wanted to move beyond promoting and learn how to cut checks, not receive them, and really learn the business. So I was in grad school. I harassed this man for months, saying, I will be your intern, I will do this, I'll do anything. And Ben was Ian Schrager's right hand. So I hounded, and I was very persistent, and he finally gave me a chance. And I was his intern. And this was pre-Morgan's. This was when it was Ian Schrager Hotels. So that started a journey in 2002 that was nearly a decade working with Ian and Morgan's. And I cut my teeth in the hotel hospitality space of, you know, bars, restaurants, hotels, guest experience, general programming, and how to tick a lot of boxes, you know. Mm-hmm. Always thought the great lesson learned there was, you know, great tourists follow great locals. So we always were really focusing on what Miami meant and to deliver that experience and for people to come and experience that through these amazing hotels.
You weren't only in Miami at that point, right?
No, so with Morgan's, with Ian, I bounced around to New York, to Los Angeles, to London. Mm-hmm. I was at the Hudson in New York. I went out to Madrian in LA. I opened Bungalow 8 at St. Martin's Lane in London. So with Ian Schrager and, you know,
which was like a very hot spot.
Oh, we've got stories, man. Yeah. Like, there's not enough time here. Right. So, but amazing experiences with amazing people. And it, you know, we had the luxury to not just be freestanding venues. We had a backbone, you know, we had departments and we had things to lean on, which was great.
You opened the Florida Room.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, you did the Red Room. You did this, you did that. But like, I think in my mind, the first signature, like, Josh Wagner moment, and I'm going to say there was a Josh Wagner Wisconsin, and then there's the Josh Wagner Florida Room, and this guy, like, really evolved.
Mm.
And I'm talking about you,
but
he really evolved to the point where you really became, as I think is awesome and everyone's dream, but you became much more of yourself.
Thanks.
Right? Like, you know, whether it was your fashion choices, your commentary, whatever it was, you were becoming much more of, like, the core of who you were. And Florida Room, for the most part, this was your project.
Mm.
And so how did the Florida Room come about? And tell us a little about the Florida Room, because it's going to inform the next part of our conversation.
I mean,
so, and like how that came about. Yeah. Because it's kind of like that type of venue has become like your signature.
Yeah. So first, me with a lot of amazing people, right? Like, I was very fortunate to be in a time and place where a lot of moments were colliding. So, you know, this was when Delano, the W was coming online, Satai had been online. It was time for a little bit of an injection and a change into, you know, iconic Delano. Not a change, an added layer, right? So the basement was the David Barton gym. And I mean, if you walked down there when it was a gym, you would have never thought in a million years that that would be a lounge one day.
And David Barton's gym was like, it was the equivalent of Studio 54 of gyms.
Yes, 100%.
Like the regular people went to Crunch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know who like Madonna was at David Barton gym. And if you ever see a picture of David Barton, he was like an unusual looking character.
But he nailed the gym experience, right? The luxury gym experience. And, you know, we were in the basement of Delano, and there was this moment where it was like, all right, let's take something with this space and turn something into something special. Obviously, the cast of characters that were, you know, accessible was Lenny Kravitz, Ian Schrager, you know, like what can we do? So Kravitz designed the space. You know, this
and
is
put one of his signature pianos in there.
Yeah, he had a $500,000 baby grand Schimmel Lucite piano in the corner. I mean, the thing had Swarovski crystal wallpaper and cow hides on the ceiling. You know, it was a very decadent place. It was absolutely beautiful. It was very tasteful as well.
And it's also the beginning almost of like cocktail culture.
Well, this was, you know, Miami initially, when cocktail culture was really taking root, you know, London, then New York, and bouncing around, like Miami was a couple years behind.
As usual.
Yeah. And this was, you know, 2007, 2008? 2000, some, right in that lane. We really wanted to concentrate on a beverage program. So you remember dear, late, great John Lemaire was our lead bartender there. And John was really entrenched in the cocktail culture. And we got together and we were like, you know what?
We have a whole conversation about it later.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we were like, let's take this cocktail program very seriously. And we had a lot of friends in different cities around the world that were giving us a chance in education and guidance. And we were like, all right, let's make cocktails a real big thing. So all fresh ingredients, everything that's commonplace today. But like, we really went the extra mile.
It was not commonplace then.
No.
That was like vodka cranberry.
Yeah.
And you were really chic if you were having a glass of rosé.
And you know what? We built it for speed. So that was the difference. There were craft cocktail bars popping up all over, but nobody built it for speed. So we really were like, you know what? If you want to come here at 7 p.m. and listen to some jazz, or if you want to come here at 2 o'clock in the morning and order a handcrafted cocktail, we knew how to get that done well and quickly and to the guest hands really fast. So,
Which is unusual because, like, if you want a craft cocktail at that point and you really were going to go for one and like go to like, you know, PDT or something like that, like, you weren't necessarily having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had
like you would get to sip and talk to someone.
Grab
like,
the craft
Florida
cocktail
room was fun.
And hit the dance floor.
Yeah.
Like that's really what it was. We really wanted to, the thing that I think was really special about the Florida Room is that from 6 p.m. till 5 o'clock in the morning, it could satiate many different appetites. Like if you wanted to go there early and have a conversation, you wanted to listen to some great tunes, you know. But then if you wanted to have that evening just kind of go down that path of A, no windows, basement, time flies by, all of a sudden the DJ's on and that little pulse starts happening. And then there is bottle service and there is dancing. So you could really tick a box. Like people would go there for music and head home, or people would get there at 2 a.m. and dance the night away. So it was a special place. And also we were in a very special location. You know, Delano is, you know, it's Delano. It was a wow chapter. It was a really wow chapter. And that led into a bunch of more projects after that, you know, brought a ton of pride and also, you know, joy.
Yeah. So Florida Room was incredible. Before we move on from Florida Room, do you have a special memory from that? Special memory that like sticks out in your mind that captures that moment?
Yeah. I think, God, there's so many to pull from because we just had so many people perform there. I mean, whether it was Grace Jones performing one time and I saw her do 12 outfit changes in a space that was the size of like a porta potty, like a made up thing in the hallway. And she literally did 12 changes in front of us. And like, there was no stage, like dripping on you. You know, it's like Jane's Addiction performing in the middle of the room with just no robes, people on you. There was one night Jamie Foxx checked in like late, 2 a.m. It was like a weekday. We were closing down and we got a phone call. Next thing I know, it's me, him, one of his guys, my head of security and a bartender with John. And we were there till 5 a.m. singing Christmas songs because it was right before Christmas. And it was just like, there were so many of these things. But, yeah. You know, I think the lasting memory I have the most of the Florida Room is that people just speak so highly of the times they had there. And yeah. I think that was so, it's always so nice to hear, like, I got a drink, I got music, there was no private sections. Like, it was just, once you were in, and you can just, you know, and it was the amount of people I worked with there that now have their own businesses around the country that have had great success is wonderful. So, you know, I was part of a small crew that got to be able to see a lot of people heading wonderful directions. So it was a great moment in time.
It was more than a nightclub, it was a moment.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would say that's the greatest praise you could give anyone in nightlife is that, like, they own that moment.
Cheers to that, man. I'm on board with that.
So then you end up at Addition.
Yeah. So I was at the Rec Room and the Regent with, you know, inside the Gale. And Ben Pundle had gotten back together with Ian Traeger to launch the Addition brand. And kind of got that phone call one day of, let's get the band back together again. And I went and I opened the Miami Beach Addition. I had interesting title because it was like I was the director of culture and entertainment, because it was kind of, we have this massive hotel, you know, we've got 8 F&B outlets, there's a lot of different boxes to tick, and you know, from the arrival experience to a spa to Jean George restaurant to there was just a
Matador
lot of
room.
Things Matador room, and you know, their basement, a bowling alley, an ice skating rink, just all the things. And we, you know, we wanted to swing correctly, and swinging correctly in Miami was, we got to build this for locals, and we have to really make sure that these doors are ready to receive the community here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was doing the Ethos tour, and I got certified as a Miami Beach historian and giving tours of the community and really digging deep into what Miami culture was about from yesteryear, restoring the Seville Hotel, and what was this mark going to be in this next chapter of Miami? Because, you know, there was this burgeoning moment of, here's the Addition, here's the One Hotel, here's, you know,
Mid Beach,
here comes Faena, here, all these wonderful things. So, you know, it was a wonderful chapter. I got to open the Miami Beach Addition. I got to open the Clock Tower in New York. I went to Sanya in China, which was wonderful. You know, I had a great experience with Addition and Marriott. And, you know, seeing that brand grow till today has been, you know, a really wonderful thing. So it ticked a box, another box of a lane of luxury that was, you know, I think very needed in that time, and still obviously very relevant today, seeing how much they're growing.
Back, so to bring us to date.
Yeah.
Okay. So as I observe you as a human being, as you've gone through your media journeys, your hospitality journeys, all the different things you've done, your traveling, which you extensively travel. I've seen you in, you know, Japan and I don't know where else, all over the world. As I said, you are the Anthony Bourdain of Miami. We get to this point where, you know, we met maybe a couple of years ago. I don't remember what it was exactly. We even talked when I was at Reef a couple of times. And as I said, we're passing souls in the night. And one day you say, I'm going to open this place Medium Cool.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about Medium. So when you told me about it, I got to be honest with you, I was like, oh, he's opening another, you know, bar. Weren't you involved in Sweet Liberty too?
Yeah.
Okay. So like Sweet Liberty, obviously very well-known, you know, cocktail and like kind of neighborhood bar.
Like the Cheers of Miami Beach.
Yeah, like the Cheers of Miami Beach. I think I've been to a couple of birthday parties there. Yeah. But you told me about Medium Cool, and I was like, oh, interesting name, interesting thing. I know you got a cast of characters who you got kind of brought together for this one. But it's really taken on a life once again of a place that is filling the niche in Miami Beach, of a place that, you know, people can go for a great night out. Hear great music, whether it's a DJ or live music, right? You do sometimes have DJs there.
We have jazz and DJs every night.
Okay. And it's really become like another Miami Beach fixture. But in this case, I think you've gotten to a place where, you know, this place could be a place that's here for, you know, this could be the Joe Stone Crab of cocktails.
Yeah. I
right.
Mean, yeah. Like, the medium cool story is it's a fun one and it's an interesting one. And it came out of circumstance and reaction. We got offered, so it's the old Rec Room space.
Yeah.
So it was a bar that I opened 10 years ago. That is known already as a space and not a failed space. Like
no.
Rec Room, it was a moment, right? So there was an offer to take the room back. And remember, this was, we were still in the throes of COVID. And, you know, Miami, just like every place in the world, changed during COVID. And, you know, we see what happens out. You speak about it so eloquently every day and trying to explain what the city has been and where it is and where it's yeah. going. There was a real opportunity there of where was the blue ocean? And we have this great opportunity to take the space.
Great book, by the way, if you guys are interested.
There you go. I took a real pause and it was like, A, what's out there? What's working? What's inbounds? What's happening in my city? What is on the flood? Like, what is open? What's me? What am I going to enjoy, right? What am I going to love? And who am I going to do it with? And is the juice worth the squeeze? And you know, when you open a place, you hope that it's built with passion and purpose, and you hope that someone loves it. And I wanted to have something that I loved, right? And for me, the only way I was going to do that is to get together with people that I loved. And also for them not to even know that they were going to get into something that they didn't even know they were good at. So we came up with this idea of, I'd never done this before business-wise, but I said, all right, let's get a group of people together. And everyone put your horse blinders on because you are only going to do what you're good at. You are excellent at cocktails. You know everything there is about music and programming. You know everything there is about excellent, tasteful design. You know everything about operations. Everybody, live in your lane. And I need you to be medium, right? And I don't need 100% of your life. We need you to do what you're good at and have your whole other life. And let's create something where the community would lift something up. The name Medium Cool came from a dear friend who passed way too early named Kurt Carrillo. And Kurt was actually a manager of mine at the Rec Room years ago and also worked at Sweet Liberty. And, you know, we miss him very much. And Kurt had a name for a bar, Medium Cool. Medium Cool is based on a documentary that's from the 70s. It was basically a film about media during the Vietnam War. Great, great flick. And he had this name, Medium Cool, and he wanted to open a bar. We asked him permission, can we use the name? And it ticked so many boxes for us because, you know, I'm 45 years old. I've been doing this for a long time. I think that medium is cool. I'd never want to sit at a dinner table with anyone who says they're number one at anything. I don't think that's interesting. And, you know, we are in a city that has a lot of flash, which is amazing. And we need that, right? We need this to be a destination. We need this to be a place of celebration and real in your face, like mega, mega, mega. But we live here, man. And I want a place that I can go to 365. And I don't need it to be that. I think that medium is cool. I think that.
I actually, when I heard it, like for me, I gave it my own story.
Yeah.
And to me, the story was that like a version of what you're saying, but like you don't necessarily want to go to the coolest bar or the moment place. It's just a place that kind of suits our life today.
There you
like,
go.
It's still cool, but it doesn't have to be like, you know, like.
We just wanted to tone it down enough.
Yeah, and like Restoration Hardware.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm cool with that. Like,
safe, it's not, cool,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, it's not like a designer right? couch, but like it's good.
But we took very seriously, everyone took their lanes very seriously.
Yeah.
Like we have an extraordinary beverage program. We have insanely well-curated music. We have wonderful design. Like we have wonderful operations and friendly service and approachability. I have a cast of friends that are business partners that we all care about our lane equally. So I don't have to stress about their lane because I know they care. So the whole equation was how can we bring people together of like-minded individuals? I don't mean to say it that way, but like, hey, I don't need you full-time, but can you do this wonderfully? Like, can you make this artistic? Can you communicate this the right way? And we put a bunch of people together. And, you know, the thing that's very cool about it is that the city accepted us and we're really super grateful that we've been received so well. So very similarly to the Florida room, throwing it back, the equation was, we're open at 6 p.m. We have jazz from 7 to 10, non-vocal. We want you to come in and have a conversation. We want you to be able to get a great cocktail. We want you to be greeted with kindness and received well and have timely service. And then at 10 o'clock, we have great local DJs curated by an amazing programming team, you know, that I know that the design of the place and the lighting is on point and the messaging's there and everyone cares about what they do. So medium's cool, man. I know if you're a tourist from out of town, the same thing 20 years ago than it is today, and I got you for three or four nights in Miami, I'll get you for one of them. And then you should go do the other thing. You should go to Live. You should go to 11. You should go to the steakhouse. You should go to the rooftop party. You should see the sunrise. You should jump in the ocean. You should eat local. You should also check out the out-of-town brand. But I'm an in-town brand. We were made in Miami, like, yeah, and by Miami people. So for us, you know, God bless this city and all the layers that are there. We saw a blue ocean. Yeah. We saw a place that we just wanted to be relatable. We wanted to be approachable. And I wanted to do it with people that I adore. And how cool is it that I get to be able to say I'm part of a team that, you know, our team owns extendedly 10 other places in Miami. You know, like, there's nobody there is seeking attention. We want the guest to get the attention. We want the guest to walk away with a wonderful experience. And, you know, for us, man, like, medium all day. Like, stay medium, dude. That's all I need.
So how long you lived in Miami?
Since 2002, off and on, between New York, LA, London, and Tokyo.
Okay, and you said that's 23 years?
Yep.
And where do you live?
I live on the beach.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, like, right between Addition, Faena, Juan Hotel, like, right.
So you're a mid-beach guy?
Mid-beach, yeah.
Okay, you're a mid-beach guy. And what's your morning routine?
Every morning, I grab a iced coffee, and I walk with my wife up the beach, and we try to get 10,000 steps in on the most beautiful boardwalk of any city in America.
Where do you get your coffee?
I go to Starbucks.
Oh, wow. And because it's in mid-beach?
It's a couple blocks away, and I go to Starbucks. I get a black iced coffee. Remember, I worked in hospitality in hotels, so, like, there was always a pot of coffee on at 3 in the morning that was sitting for hours. So I like a filtered, horrible cup of coffee. I don't want craft. No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a craft guy either.
Win me over.
I'm not a craft guy.
It's routine. I grab.
So black iced coffee.
Black iced coffee.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And what's a hidden gem in Miami? You're like a special case here. Like, give me three hidden gems in Miami that people should know about.
So stick with coffee. A la Folie on Espanola Way.
A la Folie.
A la Folie. It's been there for over 30 years. A la Folie. It's a French. It's like in your face French. It's just, the city did a great job of restoring Espanola Way.
It's happening over there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And once you just get past the more busier side and you get one further block west, it's right next to Tropezone, which is also a great spot.
Yeah.
A la Folie is a place that, you know, the menus look like an old newspaper. It feels like you could be sitting in a you know, cafe in Paris, and whether it's, you know, a croque monsieur and a rare occasion to get like a French onion soup, but like phenomenal crepes, service with the right type of attitude, and you can sit there in the morning and there's, you know, human beings that have been going there every morning for 30 years, pulling up on their Vespa. It's great people watching, it's great Miami Beach and a great locals. So A la Folie, I think, is great.
Okay, what else we got?
Another hidden gem, I would just say it's a hack. I love eating at the counter at Joe's Takeaway.
Love Joe's Takeaway.
But everyone, they go to the counter, they order, they get the buzzer. No, don't do that. Go straight to the counter, order from the counter, they serve you there. And also, they have a really stinky good breakfast that people sleep on.
All right.
An institution, but how you hit it. I mean, everyone will tell you, there's no brainers. It's $8.95 for half-fried chicken, and they basically sell bottles of wine at cost. And you can, like, go sit there and see the locals pass by, and everything's great. But awesome. Really enjoy that.
And what do you love most about Miami?
What I love most about Miami? I'm going to go with its beaches and its waterways. I don't take it for granted. I think that every time you cross those causeways,
I love the causeway crossing. That's one of my favorite moments.
You know, you land back in Miami, you're crossing back over the beach, and whether, you know, you have that moment where you can look over your shoulder and see the third largest skyline in America that just continuously grows in front of our faces, and that row of cruise ships that are coming in and out, and, you know, just being able to go up the Miami River and just all of our waterways, and I truly believe that of any major metropolitan city in the world, we have the most beautiful beach that there is. Cars are not allowed to drive on it. It's offset. It's broken by, you know, wonderful foliage, and the sand is spectacular. And I walk it every morning, and I really, really am grateful to be able to have that every day.
What's one cultural trend or project in Miami that excites you?
It's existence. Like, it's change. I think that Miami is changing in so many different areas, and this change is different. You know, like, in the past 23 years,
I've been wild.
This is wild. This is, you know, you hear people throw out things like it's the Singapore of, you know, the Americas now. You have people talking about everything with, you know, coin and finance and, you know, Wall Street South, and all these things are thrown around.
The Saudis just came here now.
Saudis are taking an office here. You know, yeah. There's just so many things. You know, years ago, you used to know everything while it was happening. You didn't. If there was something opening, I knew it before the lease was signed. You know, the community was so small. And now it's just like, what? Like, who just, what? Like, what's happening? So to me, that's really interesting, and seeing how the city is handling it. And I also think it's going to be really interesting seeing how new arrivals entrench themselves here and how they will evolve here. I think that everyone who moves here, you have to give it a full 12 months.
I thought it's 2 years. You're not a local until you lived here for 2 years.
You got to get over that 12-month cycle, though, and you can't just disappear in the summer. Like, you got to be here.
I like the summer.
I love the summer. Yeah. But you have to be here, and seeing how those people's routines change, and after they're here for a minute, they go to the different spot. They have a different community. So I'm really excited to see how this new arrival wave contributes to the city and how they help it grow.
How do you share your creativity?
Collaborations. I think, you know, it's wonderful to be able to align with people that care about things, right? Like, and care about my cares. Like, and that's, you know, Medium Cool is one of those examples. Like, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm very poor at, and I don't ever want to try to involve myself with something.
So you share your creativity by staying in your lane.
Absolutely. Staying medium, man.
Staying medium.
Yep.
This is a theme.
Yeah.
What personal experience has shaped your creative journey the most?
Travel and hotel openings. You know, I've lived in a bunch of places. I got to
give me like three or five places that you lived. New York and Miami, we know that.
Yeah, New York, like, Miami, London, Tokyo. So the thing with the hotel, opening a hotel is war. Like, it's just war.
Yeah.
And it's if you ever have a friend that's opening a hotel, just like
leave them alone.
Like, they're just, you know, you don't leave property for like 2 months at a time. Yeah. And like, it's insanely rewarding as well. So yeah. I think that really changed a
lot. Bonds. Yeah. It's like the bonds of war for hospitality.
I can literally.
The bonds of opening a hotel.
Yes. And it's so educational. It's so rewarding. And, you know, you learn so many unexpected things. But I took a lot of lessons from opening hotels.
One piece of advice you'd give your younger self?
Create healthy habits and stick to them. Really get yourself in routines early, and really keep them, maintain them, and really set up for health and success.
That's an extraordinary piece of advice. They say when you're younger, you make your habits, and when you're older, your habits make you.
Yep, there you go.
And it's scary because, like, you know, if you really like, you know, cheesesteaks or drinking, you know, six or seven scotches a night, like, you're going to get, comes back on you
healthy
hard.
Habits early.
How do you define your success?
Ikigai. Ikigai is a Japanese philosophy that's thousands of years old that I learned in Japan. I've studied Omotenashi, like Japanese hospitality, for years, and Ikigai is based on four principles. Are you good at it? Do you love it? Does it make the world a better place? And can you make money off of it? To me, that is success. If I can do those four things, I am succeeding in life.
What do you believe?
I believe in choice. I think that choice is, you know, such a powerful word, and I think it's so important how we choose to take on anything, react to anything, exist, right? Like, we live in a country that we have the privilege of choice, and we should exercise it, and we should take a moment all the time in believing that we have choice, and just err on the side of positivity and err on the side of helping others and just, you know, try to make a positive impact.
If you could collaborate with any artist, entrepreneur, or creative, who would it be and why?
I'm going to go to peers and friends. I mean, I've gotten to that stage in life where, you know, a lot of times people will say it's not always wise to work with friends and loved ones. But I think that if you can set parameters and expectations and be clear about goals, I get tremendous joy on seeing other people succeed. I get tremendous joy on trying to help people that I care about do well. So I'd like to collaborate with anybody who cares about something. If you really care, I know there's going to be love and, you know, true care behind trying to make that thing work.
And what is your happy place?
Happy place. Happy place is when I land on the ground in Japan. It's wine country in Slovenia. It's a pub in the English countryside.
I told you, it's Anthony Bourdain.
No, but it's, you know what it is, Alan? My happy place is any place new. I am able to hit stride and calmness and real awareness, peak awareness, when I'm walking down the street with my wife holding hands on a place I've never been. And for me, if I could literally just have that experience as often and frequently as possible, I'm a very privileged human being. So any place new is my happy place.
As one of Miami's cocktail kings, what do you drink?
Situational, man. Like, I drink situationally. Like, if we all have go-tos, right? Uh-huh. But like, if I'm in a steakhouse, like, yes, I want a martini the size of my head. If I'm going to be on a beach, like, yes, I would like a beer with a lime in it, you know? And, you know, there's a time for a shot and a beer, and there's also time to have non-alc, right? Like, there's, what do I drink? Totally situational, who I'm with, what we're celebrating, and, you know, just, you know, a glass of champagne always means we're celebrating something. Next time you have someone to your house, open the door, hand them a bottle of champagne, what are they gonna ask you?
What are we celebrating?
Exactly. That's a great thing to start with people.
So I love that.
Situational drinking.
So do you have a favorite quote?
Yeah, it's my father's. It's don't postpone joy. It's tattooed right there as well. My sister has a matching one. And my father always used that as a mantra of his. And he actually wore a pin for the autumn of his years after he saw the quote at a Avenue Q play in New York City, and he bought this pin and was smitten by it, and he said, don't postpone joy, and he would carry around a pocket full of them, and he would give it to anybody when they ever commented on them. And don't postpone joy.
There's a lot of these people
in
our incredible city
who
have made real difference, a real mark.
Yes.
And I hope one day I can be one of those people. I will say to you that sitting in front of you, you are one of those people.
I think so.
And life is measured in the depth of your relationships. I'm thankful that we have a relationship.
Absolutely. Thank you very
much. I'm thankful to be in this city with you. I'm thankful that we had this conversation. Yeah. I hope it's the first of many. And, you know, keep doing you. I'll see you at the beach.
Yeah, but
and,
can I say, what you're doing here is really wonderful for us Miami people. And I think, you know, people should see the effort you're taking to tell the story and encouraging people to be a positive contribution to the next chapter. So I applaud you, and thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, man.
Cheers.